Hello, Cool Sora Collective. I hope your week has started off very, very well. We are in the midst of moving, so I'm very, very happy and blessed to have the opportunity to move into a new home with my family. We have been in a townhome for quite some time, so praise God, He has granted us the blessing of moving to a new home. So really grateful about that. So just been really, really busy, as everyone is, you know. I do want to give a shout out to our review of the week. We would definitely love for you to continue to make sure you write us a review on iTunes, 5-star to be exact. Once you hear an episode that you like or whatever, we just want to hear what you have to say. And I definitely want to show love to DSmitty74. Says, inspirational, intentional, and informative. I love this podcast. It has truly been a blessing in my life. Keep up the good work, Soror Rashan Ali. Thank you so much, D. Smitty. I appreciate the love and support, all right? Today, we are joined by Kirsten Daniel. She is a Cool Soror of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, and she is the brainchild behind ATL, the brand, and she will talk all about it. And I love sitting down with my folks who are from the A. Because you guys know I represent the ATL to the fullest, born in the ATL, raised in Decatur. So I represent two sides. This is a very fun interview, which I truly, truly love. Here is Old Atlanta with Kirsten Daniel.
You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all,
I am a cool soror of
What's up y'all, I'm a cool soror of
Hi, I am a cool soror of
It's the Cool Soror Podcast, hosted by me, Rashan Ali. Welcome to the Cool Soror Podcast, and we are so very happy to have Kirsten Daniel, celebrity manager, operations manager of Culture Republic. But she is the brainchild, one of the brain children behind ATL, which we'll get into. Kirsten, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm great. How you doing, Rashan?
I am well. And you are a cool soror of?
Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
Thank you so much for being here today. I'm happy.
I appreciate you having me.
Yes, you are real Atlanta. Real and old Atlanta.
Both. B-O-F.
B-O-F.
Both.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. And we're going to talk about all of that, why you created this brand, why you felt it was so important. But you have a big musical background, you know, and you've been in the music industry since you graduated Full Sail?
Since I graduated from, since I got out of Full Sail, mm-hmm. I went to Savannah State University. Before I went to Full Sail, I came back after I went to Full Sail. I'm sorry about that. But after I graduated from Savannah State University, I did a couple of odds and ends jobs, and I started interning at Grand Hustle in 2007.
Nice, nice. So in between the Grand Hustle, how long were you at Grand Hustle before you went to Full Sail?
A year and a half.
Okay.
I was there for a year and a half, and then I went and worked in the corporate world for about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And then I went to Full Sail because I'm like, let me come back to this music industry thing a little different.
Yeah.
You know, let me come from a real business position.
Right.
You know, and I kind of went there for a little bit, and I got a job offer while I was there, and it ultimately brought me back, and I've been in it ever since.
So when you were there initially and then you went to corporate, what made you make the jump? Was it more stability, or did you think you need?
It was a couple different things. I felt like I was really young and not understanding the full process. I was just kind of in it. Oh man, you know, I'm working with all these artists. And I mean, at that time it was a small company. It was a few interns and I had the opportunity to do whatever. And I think that, you know, I really jumped in so hard that they started to rely on me for a lot of things, you know, which is a good thing, but I don't think I was ready for it. So I was helping to plan parties with Hannah, you know, big Lil Wayne, T.I., Jeezy birthday parties every year, you know, just doing all these big events, styling video shoots, planning video shoots, doing travel.
Yeah.
I started working on credits and our album credits for a couple of artists over there. So I just think I wasn't ready all the way. And then you know how you have parents and people in your family. Oh, they're like, yes. Oh, what about this? And is this what you want to do? And you going to be over there? Is that stable for you? You know, and I just started letting that get in my head. I'm like, let me go and get me a real job. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they tell you in college.
Of course.
Get a real job.
Right.
You know, whatever that means. And so I did that. And yeah. I'm like, oh, no, I can't come in no office every day and sit in no desk and be counting down the clock. That's not my life.
Yeah.
You know? So I went to Full Sail in an attempt to figure out, like, how can I get back in here in a way that's more suitable for me? Because I like the business part of it. I don't want to be out all the time. You mm-hmm. know, I don't like to just be on the scene for no reason. Like, let me figure this out. And it was really helpful. It was transformational. You know, I think I really got a closer relationship with God because I put myself out of the situation to be around anybody. I went to Winter Park, Florida by myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just had to do a lot of reflections and thinking and, you know, what, God, what is it that you're going to have me to do?
Yeah. What did he reveal to you down there?
That it was time for me to come back. I went through you know, a serious point of reflection. And throughout that, I was praying and asking, what am I going to do next? I'm not really sure if this is the right thing, but I feel comfortable down here. And I got a call while I was down there like, hey, can you come back and help me? And I'm like, yeah, if you move me back up there.
Right.
You know, and it has been, I've been rocking and rolling ever since.
Did you complete the program at Full Sail?
I did not.
You did not?
Mm-mm, because I felt like I was studying entertainment business, but I got an entertainment business job offer.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel the need to complete it.
Yeah. Did you gain a lot of knowledge during the program? Or do you think with what we do or what you do, the hands-on experience is better?
The hands-on experience is definitely better. Honestly, I don't think that it did anything for me but to help me to look in the mirror and just be in a place with no noise.
Yeah.
And listen. I think that's what it did for me. Mm-hmm. It helped me to understand, like, okay, slow down for a minute and think about what it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, think about this a little bit more seriously. I'm going to put you in a place where ain't nobody around you so you can really think about what's next. I think that's what it did, more so than the educational part. Because honestly, I don't think it was very helpful in terms of the education in that particular program.
Right.
Now, I will always advise people that are interested in getting the more technical side of the music industry to go down to Full Sail and learn the audio part, the visual part. You know, all of that is very helpful. But the program that I was in, not so much.
Okay.
But it was, you know, that was a very important part of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, it was transformational.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Good. Yeah, I love the fact that you had to get out of Atlanta because you are a real native
mm-hmm.
of the ATL. Mm-hmm. And I know that we hold that so near and dear to our hearts now, because now when people meet both me and you, I know you get the same thing and you say, well, I'm from Atlanta. Like, you're from Atlanta?
Or they'll be like, Atlanta, what part? Like, the city. What part is, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Like the Atlanta, Georgia.
Right, right.
You know, they expect you to say from Sugarloaf, from, mm-hmm. You know, from Norcross or something. Like, no, I really grew up off of Martin Luther King Drive.
Right.
You know, so for the longest, I was very curious when people in appalled, like, when I tell you I'm from Atlanta and you ask me, like, what part, what other parts are there? You know, of course, I know Decatur, I know the South
right,
Side.
Right.
But when I went to Savannah State University, I started to meet people from, you know, Noonan.
Yeah.
And they would be like, I'm from Atlanta. And I'm like, no, not exactly. Not really.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm.
But I get when people ask that, because I actually was born in Atlanta, raised in Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely pay homage to both, of mm-hmm. course. You mm-hmm. know, my birth certificate. Crawford Long Hospital, Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I, you know, but I'm Decatur all day, but mm-hmm. I'm also Atlanta. So
yeah.
I understand what, I'm sure it's not malintent where
yeah.
they're coming from,
yeah.
but you just can't claim Atlanta.
No, you checking your cards.
We will do that. We will do that. Yeah. And so you grew up near Douglas High School.
Mm-hmm.
You were supposed to go to Doug.
I was supposed to go to Doug. I walked up to Doug and got on the bus in front of their school and went to North Atlanta High School. So
okay.
I grew up in Dixie Hills.
Okay.
Well, between Dixie Hills and, you know, a little area by Hollywood Court.
Right.
So off of Jackson Parkway, Scott's Crossing is the area.
Right.
So kind of, and that's only about, those areas are about 2 miles away from each other, both on the west side of Atlanta, Georgia. But
right.
I was supposed to go to Douglas High School, but my mom always put me, like, I started off going to school off of Moore's Mill, which mm-hmm. is Margaret Mitchell, then
okay.
I went to Sutton. So, you know, it was natural for me to just keep going
on that track.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah.
She felt like, okay, it's only black people over here, but that ain't what the world is made up of.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I, you know, put you in an area to kind of see more diversity?
Yeah.
That was the reason for that.
Do you think that it worked to your advantage?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I didn't realize it until I got a little bit older. Like, okay, I've been around a lot of different people. You know, when I got to those areas, that was the first time I'd ever been, I'd ever known anybody whose parent was a doctor, you know? Wow, y'all got a lot of money. You know, that was my mindset because I didn't grow up with much, you know? So I was able to be in these areas where people really had, what I saw on TV really existed.
Right.
And that was, it was important for me to see like, okay, we can all do this. You know, this is not something that's unattainable.
Right.
But, you know, when you come from a small neighborhood that doesn't have much, you don't get a chance to see those things except on TV. So it's hard to, you know, kind of put that into a real perspective.
Right. Right. You know, music has been just a part of your life since you can remember, obviously. And I just read a recent article about you, about, you know, how music for you was equivalent to old Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, explain that to people who, I mean, I get it, but it was such a soundtrack and it was more than music. It was a feeling.
It was a feeling, you know, and I realized that over time I've had a hard time articulating it, but it's a soundtrack, you know what I mean? So when I think about certain areas in my life, certain periods in my life, it's directly related to a song.
Right.
You know, I remember listening to Greg Street, you know, and 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And there's songs that used to come on in that reminds me of where I was in my life. I knew around that time it was time for me to, you know, work on my homework or, you know, come in from outside, whatever it is. But everything is related to music. And that's what I love so much about the industry that I work in, is that it's timeless, you know, and people, the music that people create now will stick with them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
It's going to always remind them of something that has taken place, a certain period in their life, a good point, a bad point, but it's reflective.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's something that's so important. And, you know, it's why I continue to remain in the music industry, even though despite sometimes you're like, oh, this is just too much.
Music,
it's a lot. It's a lot.
It can be so overwhelming. And I probably was on the other side of that soundtrack because I worked at LaFace Records. And so that's when you're a little younger than me, but I was providing or helping to provide some of that soundtrack for you back then. So, yeah, I mean, I totally get it. Like, I feel that we have so much synergy because we understand this space, this place in which we live. So now you are the operations manager of Culture Republic, which is a new and an amazing label that created by Jason Jeter, Chaka Zulu, and Bernard Parks.
Yes.
I've worked with them in some capacity throughout my music career and radio career. Tell me more about Culture Republic and what you feel like the vision is for that record label.
So Culture Republic, it's a new company.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's headed up by Jason Jeter, Chaka Zulu, and Bernard Parks. All of these individuals have had their hand on very, very impactful, the very impactful music careers of whether it be Goody Mob with Bernard, DJ Toomp with Bernard, Ludacris with Chaka, and T.I. with Jason. And, you know, I started with Jason, so that's kind of how the progression of this company took place. But they've all come together because, I mean, pretty much you see like, all right, we're all moving together in the city of Atlanta and doing all these great things. Why not partner up and put this energy together and be able to do something more impactful and powerful and, you know, more unified? So we've joined together. It's been some years, but I think now we're really getting in a format.
Yeah.
At this point, and the goal of it is to really kind of position ourselves in Atlanta to be that company that is responsible for, you know, in terms of Black entertainment. You know, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but there are not a lot of leaders in Black entertainment and Black music.
Yeah.
You know, Black executives, they're very few. It's head up by people that don't really look like us.
Absolutely.
So it's really to be in a position to be of leadership and guidance.
Mm-hmm.
We have, it's like a brand agency, but also we have a record label imprint. So we sign acts like Nick Grant.
I love him.
Yeah. Nick Grant.
He's amazing.
Milo Smith and Larry, a couple of people that, you know, no one knows about yet. We're in the artist development stages, but it's really just to kind of be that leadership and be in position to be able to really help drive the careers of these young artists.
Yeah.
You know, from a Black music standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the Black executives. I mean, we had L.A. Reid until
recently,
some stuff went down with him. So, I mean, and he and Babyface were at the forefront, and then Dallas Austin back in the day, and then Jermaine Dupri. And Jermaine's not really doing, you know, he has his show, but I'm not sure
how much influence. Not from executive level. He's more creative. I think he's still DJing, and he got some. He has some shows that he's doing, which is great. But I mean, Sylvia Rhone is still there, but
she's. I mean, she's more seasoned. Yeah. And we need some new blood.
There's no new energy.
But, you know, I think that, because the music industry has been so painful for a lot of people, they get out.
Yeah.
I got out at 23 and had no regrets.
Yeah.
Zero.
That happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
They go on. I meet so many people like, oh, I work for the government now, or, you know, just doing other things completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, very different industry. And you got to really be able to hang and roll with the punches, especially as a woman. You know, it's male dominated. It's not, you know, there aren't a lot of people in there, like I said, that looks like us. So you have to really be able to hold your own.
Yeah.
You know, and it can become very difficult and, you know, take a big toll on you.
Yeah. How do you protect your soul in this industry?
I am rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Honestly, I can see things from a mile away, and I know how to, you know, I'm the first to say, nah, I'm not going to be involved in that, you know? And I think the people that I work with respect that about me. You know, I'm not on the scene a whole lot. I just have to protect my energy from it being a part of my life. It's a job for me. It's not a part of who I am.
Right.
It's not my makeup. You know, and I try to get out as much as I can and enjoy my friends and my family, because those are the things that really, you know, give you that jubilance, you know, trying to add to the quality of your life.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, to me, the music industry, of course, there are achievements that you have within that industry, but who you are as a person and your character, I think, really determines your quality of life.
Yeah.
So I try to separate it from being a full lifestyle.
Right. And so with that, you know that it's important to create your own, which is why you did that.
Absolutely.
With ATL. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. I started seeing these shirts, and then I was like, hey, who got that? And I want one of them. And who is it? And come to find out, you had reached out to some of my friends, giving them a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But they were like, they ain't give it to me in time. But I got it right on time.
That happened so much. Like, oh, I was supposed to get it from such and such. Like, oh, no, she wore it. I'm sorry.
Right.
She wore it.
Right. But let's talk about why you created ATL. And if anybody has seen these amazing sweatshirts and t-shirts, Old Atlanta, which sparks up so much conversation every time I wear it. Mm-hmm. Why did you feel like it was necessary to preserve Old Atlanta?
Okay, well, I'll take a step back for a minute. I mean, like you said, the music industry is something that you don't know if it's going to be here or if it's not.
Right.
And I knew, I mean, I have another company. It's called Five Star Relations. Uh-huh. We do lifestyle and brand management predominantly for sports clients.
Okay.
And that's great, but I'm not a big sports person.
Blasphemy on my podcast.
I'm sorry. I'm not, you know, so while I love doing that, I felt like I needed to start something that I felt like I loved, you know, that belonged to me, that I had a passion for. So, you know, I had this experience from working with Hustle Gang and Aku, you know, how to create product.
Yeah.
I had the experience. I had done it before. So I'm like, shoot, let me see if I could put my little change together, you know, my little coins, and come up with something.
Coins.
Yeah. So I came up with the name because I, of course, wanted it to be something that if people are talking about the city, they don't know if they're talking about me and my brand or the city of Atlanta. I want it to be that big of a thought process.
Right.
So that's why I named it that, and I spelled it differently. But of course, you're forced to have the same pronunciation. So I named it something that I felt like would be pretty cool to say and could go live in any place,
right,
regardless of what product it was. So I said, let me put this on a shirt. And I started getting questions like, what is that? What does it mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, from talking about ATL, I created another shirt.
Yeah.
You know, since we on the subject of Atlanta, y'all want to talk about Atlanta. This is making y'all think about things as it relates to the city. Let me put out another shirt that represents me, you know, somewhere between Bakehead and Buckhead.
I love that one.
Yep. That's geographically, that's where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
That's my mindset. Don't get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come crazy. You know?
Right.
The West Side will come out, you know?
So right.
That was what that meant, you know, geographically, just the mindset, who I am as a person,
yep.
You know, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
proud of that. So that was the next shirt, and that one picked up really well. So I did a couple more concepts. I did a Kilo Ali concept. Mm-hmm. I did a shirt that said Get High. You know, it was in homage to the High Museum.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, in life, we just got to find some things that we connect to and get high off of it, whatever it is.
What
I mean? I created that shirt, and then the Old Atlanta shirt came. It was a concept that I had for a while, but I never went out with it. I think I just printed a couple. And so many people asked about it, so I printed a couple more, you know, and that's how it went. Printed a couple more, and then several people had reached out to me about it, and then I think that's when Rodney Carmichael, who was formerly at Creative Loafing, reached out to write an article about it.
And I love that article.
Yeah, it was a great article.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, so many more people heard about it, and that's when it kind of went crazy.
So I'm glad you mentioned that article. I pulled a quote from there. It says, it's a fashionable effort to preserve Atlanta's narrative in a city where the old is increasingly overshadowed by the new.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you when you hear that quote that you stated?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
We're living in a city where it doesn't look like what we, you know, how we originally came up in it as, you know, it's something completely different. I drive around the city and a lot of times I'm like, it's not recognizable. And that's not to say that it's a bad thing, but I feel like people coming in the city, they need to know the origin of it. They need to know why Black excellence is so prevalent in this place, in the city. It's because of the foundation upon which it was built.
Yes.
And so if we take away the authenticity and that thread and originality of you know, how much our people did in the city to build it, to structure it, you know, to finance it, and how painstaking that was for our families back then, we can't just erase that.
Yeah.
That's not something that's to be erased. And while I get, you know, we got it for the economical growth of the city, we have to do things differently. I just feel like somebody needs to be talking about, you know, the origination of things and what it was before. Somebody needs to be a reminder, you know, because if nothing else, if you're someone that's new in the city, I want you to go and look it up, you know?
Yeah, or research. Go visit the Hammond House or different places.
Right. There's so many people. There's so many things that are still here. It's not that it's completely erased. It's a lot of things a lot of places that you can go and get some research and, you know, kind of, I guess, to align yourself with how the city used to be.
Right.
But nobody is encouraged to do that because there's so many new and colorful things to do here.
Yeah.
You know, you're not encouraged to find out, like, okay, Auburn Avenue, everybody keeps saying Auburn Avenue is coming back. But let me find out what it was before.
It was
the richest Negro street in the world.
It was the Mecca of where artists used to come.
Yeah.
And they used to go and perform. Like, that's where they came.
Yeah, let me see what this Royal Peacock is.
Yes.
No, like, you know, you have to have curiosity. You know, you have to be inclined. And, you know, again, that's my mission. Maybe I can further incline somebody to go out and do some research and figure out, okay, old Atlanta, okay, you're pointing out this, you're pointing out that. I see on your Instagram, you're posting these things about this and that, you know, let me look that up.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of the goal of it. Everything won't be so old oriented, you know, but if I can get the message out and if I can in some kind of way reinvigorate people to have a certain zeal about the city or a certain level of affection about the city, then I would like to do that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Because at one point I felt like I had fallen out of love with the city.
Because the newness of everything?
I didn't have a connection.
Okay.
I didn't have a connection. Mm-hmm. And this has given me a reason to reconnect.
Yeah. And it's given people a reason when they see these shirts and this movement to actually have the conversation. And that was the intent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Besides the historical part of old Atlanta, there's a feeling. And
absolutely.
When I think of the feeling, that feeling, which you pointed out in the article, which again, we referring to that Creative Loafing article, you talked about like that 2014 Outkast concert.
Oh, Lord.
That changed my life.
Yes, it did.
It changed a lot of people's life because for those of us who grew up in that, it felt like that again, if only for 3 days.
Only for 3 days.
Yeah.
Only for 3 days.
What was that like for you, that time when they came back together here in Atlanta?
It felt like I got my city back.
Yeah,
you know,
it
felt like the city was back. And I felt like, honestly, for no reason should this feeling have ever gone away.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like we were all unified. And when you think about like the crime in Atlanta and just, you know, just again, how segregated we are in terms of, you know, this person lives in this area over here in Sandy Springs and they don't really know what's going on. They don't know in Cascade, you know, is about to build a high rise and, you know, kind of make all these new developments where Cascade won't look the same. I felt like in that moment, in that particular weekend, everybody came together and we had the same love for the city, for the culture, for the music, for the quality of life in Atlanta.
Yes.
That one weekend, we were all unified.
We were. I mean, I'm literally getting chills as you're speaking about it, because I just remember just standing out there on the lawn in awe.
It was like everybody was my cousin
again. And that's how old Atlanta felt. Like if we had to like try to explain it to people,
it's hard to it
really
words,
is yeah
you feel it if you ride down Headland and DeLow and you turn on that Outkast album,
right,
you will get the feeling that we are trying to articulate right now.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you will be put into that position, into that zone, and your mind will go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be able to recount all of these things that they were talking about as it relates to cleaning up the city, protecting our community. You know, Wayne Williams, these
yes.
people, these brothers were like being very radical in their thinking,
right.
in the way that they were communicating things about the city.
Right.
You know, about what was going on. Mm-hmm. But it was delivered in the form of music.
Yes.
You know, it was transformational.
It was, yeah,
it was
absolutely.
Transformational. And so we had a chance to have that when they came back to the city.
And that was that when you birthed ATL? Was that part of the movement? Because
what year was that?
That was 2014. Was that the beginning of what you?
Well, I trademarked the company January 2nd of 2015.
Yeah, so that
I
had to.
I think that definitely helped me to figure out the direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think that definitely kind of, like I said, it reinvigorated my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of helped me to kind of go back to what it was before.
Right.
You know what I mean? It kind of helped me to understand like, man, there's something missing here. That's what I was able to see.
Yeah.
There's something missing. And in the narratives that have been displayed for us via reality television,
yes.
this fills in those gaps.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause when you come here and you look at what an Atlanta person looks like or what Atlanta looks like, it shouldn't be what you've seen on TV.
Absolutely.
Or some, you know, some recent production.
Yeah.
This is this sense of country, you know, to me, it was so family oriented. You know, my grandmama would cook for everybody in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had that sense of camaraderie, if we had that sense of community and family still, you know, our city would be so much more unified.
Yeah.
So much more.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I'm glad you went to the concert. I'm glad you trademarked in 2015. It's a beautiful thing. So recently, just of course, this show will be, we'll run this show on next Tuesday, but the Global Running Fashion event that you did at the airport
last Thursday.
What exactly was that?
So there are some new initiatives that are taking place in Atlanta under the leadership of Jai Farrell. Sorry if I'm saying your name
Jay.
Wrong. Jay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Jay. I love her. Yeah.
And I think
she's an AK.
She is doing some amazing, amazing, amazing things over there. And this was one of her initiatives, which was to kind of bridge the gap between, you know, the retailer side and just the community side.
Right.
You know, so bringing people out to see what's going on from a vendor standpoint in the airport. And, you know, my brand was selected to participate in that alongside of Tommy Hilfiger and I think Tony Bahamas and a couple other large brands that they have in the airport. And my little baby brand was there.
How'd they make you feel?
You know, I walked out of the airport and I said to myself, I need time to process this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I need time to process it because it made me feel great. It made me feel great. And the fact that, you know, that message is connecting among so many people.
Right.
You know, you'd be surprised how many people order that shirt that aren't from Atlanta that probably just moved here 2 years ago, but they understand it.
They understand it. They get it.
They understand it. They get it. Yeah. So, you know, for it to be displayed on this particular platform, you know, Hartsfield-Jackson Airport is the busiest airport in the world and my brand is sold there. You know what I mean? And I just think that's just an ultimate sign of approval, you know, that I'm doing the right thing,
or that that your purpose, that you're truly
yeah
walking in your purpose.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I do feel that way.
that had to feel good.
Yeah.
Once you sat down after being fatigued and like, okay, that was, okay, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for the vision.
Okay, that was really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to do more of that.
Absolutely. Where do you see the brand going? Like, what do you want to do? I mean, it's doing great now. You're in the airport. You know, t-shirts are flying. I mean, I'm sure you get a ding every now and then. You're like, oh, there's another t-shirt going. Okay, great.
Yeah.
In my account. Awesome. Yeah. But what are you trying to do?
What I want to ultimately do, and this is kind of why things have slowed down just a little bit in terms of the new style, the production side of things, is to create content to complement every single concept that I have.
Great.
And so I've been doing some filming. You know, I'm releasing a shirt. Let's just say next week.
Okay.
It says, I met this girl in Atlanta.
Yes.
Now, if you're from Atlanta, you know that's the first line of Kilo Ali's song, yes, Love
in
Your Mouth.
This girl in Atlanta.
Yeah, I know.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, so we're not going to get to the vulgar side of that song, but we're just going to stay right there because I think that's
a good cutoff point.
Yeah, that's a good cutoff point. That says enough because who hasn't met a girl in Atlanta? You know, if you go back to Freaknik time, you knew that you can come here and you can find you a little piece, a little something.
I love it.
Yeah, so that's going to be the next shirt. And the content piece that complements that is basically me talking to women who are moving and shaking in the city of Atlanta, Georgia.
Love it.
And I am talking much like you're doing with your Cool Sora podcast, talking to women about what they're doing. Are they from here? Mm-hmm. If they're not, why did they decide to move here? Why did they create their business here?
Love it.
You know, where do you frequent in Atlanta that you would recommend for people who don't live here, who are visiting? So that's the content piece that complements that particular shirt. And, you know, I'm doing a shirt about the West End.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to show people what the West End is and why it's so historic.
Yes.
And what it means to our community, you know, and why we should be, you know, on a mission to preserve that area.
Yeah.
As our own.
Yeah.
I'm doing more of that, and I don't have a whole lot of experience in terms of that, but I'm learning.
Yeah.
And it's different, you know, and I'm good with getting out of my comfort zone and kind of jumping into that realm and figuring it out as I go along.
When you refer to certain lyrics, do you have to get clearance for that, or like, how does that work?
I'm fortunate to know some really good attorneys.
Awesome.
That know some really that have either worked on a lot of the content, you know, a lot of the lyrics that I use, or I have relationships with the artists.
Okay.
You know, so far, you know, they want to see a young black sister win, so I haven't had any
good
problems.
No kickbacks.
With it.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, I'm sure at one point
when it gets
will.
Big enough. But we're not going to put that out there.
Yeah,
I just wanted to know.
And we'll deal with that as it comes. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to keep doing it.
Because you're doing it. It's coming from a place of good.
Yeah.
It's coming from a place of good.
Yeah. And, so, you know, I'm hoping to get to the point where if I want to use it, we can collaborate on it.
How about it?
And it can be a way to have some, you know, for them to have merch for their brands. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with doing something like that, you know, but it's definitely from a place of love and from a place of, you know, just promoting the city and how impactful and influential those lyrics and those artists were.
Yeah. Mm. So in 2005, you became a member of Delta Sigma Theta at Savannah State University, Delta New Chapter number 14. Did Delta Sigma Theta choose you, or did you choose Delta Sigma Theta?
Well, I think it was a little bit of both.
Okay.
It was a little bit of both. When I was growing up, I didn't know much about Greek letter organizations except through A Different World.
Oh, right. Exactly, right?
So in high school, that was my first time really knowing someone in real life.
Yeah, like you're in a sorority? Really?
Yeah. And it was my friend's parents. My mom passed away when I was in high school.
Oh, okay.
So my friend's parents all kind of rallied around. I was getting in a little trouble. Mm-hmm. They all had my back.
There was a village.
It was a village.
Yeah.
Their commonality was the fact that they were all Deltas.
Okay.
All of my friends' moms were Deltas.
Okay.
So I'm like, wow, who are these women that be, you know, that's really looking out for me?
Yeah.
And it felt right.
Mm-hmm.
It felt right. So when I got to Savannah State and it was that time, you know, of course I've had some conversations with some swords at the, you know, some Deltas that were there, and they had some conversations with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we chose each other.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Are you still, how many were on your line?
It was 30.
30.
30 of us. Yeah.
Y'all just still very close. Y'all get together and all
a
that.
A lot of us are still close.
Okay.
You know, life happens.
Of course life happens.
Lord.
We know.
kids happened for our line immediately.
Oh, okay.
After we graduated in marriages. I mean, I was a bridesmaid 5 years. Every year I was a bridesmaid in about 2 weddings when my line sisters was getting married. Mm-hmm. So, you know, life happens and my life is much different from theirs. So I'm moving around all over the place.
Yeah.
But yeah, we still keep a really, really strong relationship.
Good.
Really, really strong.
Good, good. Are you active?
I am not financial. Mm. I am active.
Okay.
In the sense that, you know, I participate in any community service right. event that is coming up. My line sisters are still very heavily active in the alumni chapters around the city. So I participate with them on those things and support any of my sorors and any efforts I can. I'm not financial. Right. I was in East Point College Park chapter. I love that chapter. When I get back involved in things, that's the chapter I'm going back to. But no, not currently.
Okay. All good. All good. You know, it's a charge that I give to every cool soror out there.
As you should.
Just doing my part.
Right.
Just doing my part. You know, when we walked into the gathering spot, which is where I record a lot of my podcasts, and I'm very grateful.
Shout out to the gathering
spot. Really grateful for the opportunity to record here. But we were talking about, you know, how we can know how to code switch. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
I think it's a beautiful thing that we are able to do.
That. I mean, that educational part of my life growing up in on the West Side, going to Sutton Middle School, going to North Atlanta, that taught me how to do that. Because I'm like, oh, man, you know, I can't let them know where I'm from. You know, I can't let them know that I cut off the ends of all my words. It really helped me to learn how to do that. And sometimes now when I'm around Jason, he's like, oh, is that the 6? They say it's after 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's your code. That's a switch.
That's my cutoff time. That's when I get relaxed.
Yes.
I get relaxed. But I love Atlanta and the ability to do that. I was listening to your podcast with Nicole Garner. And, you know, we're talking about Atlanta people. We're just so cool.
We are.
You know what I mean?
And that's
what I love about us. It's just familiar. It feels familiar to us. It's,
yes.
You know, we can have that conversation and we can kind of jump out of into our other code when we talk to each other, and it feels right.
It feels right. You know, that it's a safe place.
Yeah, it's a safe place.
Yeah. And I, you know, when I tell people about Atlanta, when some people, you get in these conversations at different bars and different restaurants and stuff like that, and it'll be a gentleman and say, well, these women in Atlanta, I'm like, hold up.
Don't start.
I said, if you meet any real chick from Atlanta, she's probably one of the coolest chicks you ever met.
Ever met.
Ever. Like, I stand by that.
I still do. I still do as well.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we're being judged based upon people who are not from here.
Right.
But if you ever meet a real person from here, we all have, like, a very similar energy.
Yes.
You know,
What do you think that is?
I don't know. I think we grew up with a sense of humbleness.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's what it is. It's just real laid back and cool and kind of don't jump out crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, still the ability to connect with people.
Yes. Like, we can go and have a brew with our homeboys and then put on a pair of stilettos and just, we're so awesome. Are we bragging on ourselves, like, right now?
Why not?
Why wouldn't we?
Why not? Shoot. Everybody came here because they wanted to channel that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I applaud the effort.
You are hilarious.
I applaud the effort.
You applaud the effort.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's only a few real ones left out here, you know? And I feel like our Atlanta star has to shine bright as it relates to the natives. So shout out to all the Atlanta natives out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to, we in here. We definitely in here. How can people find you, my sister?
People can find me on all social media platforms at ATEALLE.
Right.
That's ATL.
Mm-hmm.
So I am found at www.atl.com, Instagram at ATL, Facebook, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
At wherever. You can find me there.
Yeah. I got to pick your brain about, you know, I just launched the Kusor Tees.
Okay.
So, and I've got 1,900,000 ideas of where I want to take it.
Okay.
But I'm literally ordering my t-shirts, going to pick them up. And I'm going.
And they're gonna sell out as soon as you pick them up.
Right, exactly. I'm doing that. I'm going to the post office. I'm writing the labels. It's got to be a smarter way to do it. And I know it is.
Well,
I'm just starting that. You know, I just started. So.
Well, and honestly, I'm gonna be very transparent. I'm still in that place. You know, so when I finish my work, either I get up early in the morning before my work calls start. And I get my orders together, I pack them up, I drop them off at the post office.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm still touching every product that comes
through. That's why I love it, because I want to feel the shirts.
Yeah. I mean, there I've been offered to be assisted by fulfillment companies, but it's something about, like, I got to know. I got to touch it. I got to put my love on it. You know what I mean? And that's, I'm still in that place. And yeah, it is a smarter way to do it. But when you're first starting, you know, I think it's very important to still remain a part of the process.
Yeah.
So then once it grows, you know, okay, this is how I do things. You have to follow this format.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm good at this point.
You're fine until you can't keep up with the orders anymore.
How about this? I'll talk to you about how you organize that part.
Okay.
Because that's where organization is really not my strong point.
Okay. I've been forced into it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk offline about that, because I mean, to grow a business, you have to talk to people who have been doing it.
Yeah, and definitely.
I definitely want to talk to you about that. You go through
some learning pains, but you know, that's what makes you better, greater, stronger, is the ability to fall down and to do it wrong and then say, oh shoot, okay, this is the right way. This is what I like. This is what I don't like.
And
that's kind of been the entire, because although I've been kind of entrepreneurial most of my life, I worked in the music industry as stated before, but you have the ability in that industry to still do your own thing.
Yeah.
Because it's very laid back work environments. So not till I started my own thing did I say, oh man, I don't have someone to ask, how do you want this? Mm-hmm. I make all the decisions, you know what I mean? And that's been very key for me, being someone that doesn't have anybody to really consult with. It's like, okay, you just got to figure it out.
Right. I do want to ask now, I did see that there was a co-founder with you.
So
are you still working together?
My friend Destiny. So Destiny is a key part of ATL in the sense that she is crazy, crazy, crazy creative.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I'm doing the day-to-day, the ins and outs. I'm the founder, but she helps me on the creative side.
Okay, okay.
So when it comes to concepts, writing, putting stuff together,
that's you. Okay.
I rely on
her. So you guys still work together?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. I'm glad.
I'm the primary, you know, person.
You're the face of the business.
Yeah. Because Destiny has her blog. Unplug her blog. Yo, Destiny is her blog. And she's writing and she's a mom of two.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So she comes from a different perspective, which is really dope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's doing all of that over there. So yeah, she helps me out a lot. But all of the major decisions, you know, I make those.
What's your definition of cool?
My definition of cool is the ability to roll with the punches. You know, you just got to roll with it. Regardless of how upset you get, that upset ain't going to change nothing.
Nothing.
You know, like life comes at you strong in ways that you can never predict. And you have to be able to align yourself accordingly to get through it in the best way that's going to be in support of your mental health and your mental stability. You know, I've gone through times in my life where I got really upset about things that happened and questioned God. And, you know, you just can't do that. You have to appreciate the good. Anytime I have a bad day, I'm like, okay, well, these things were good. And this is what happened to me. And that helps channel my energy to not get all tense and riled up.
Yeah.
So I think that's the definition of cool, just to be able to run with it.
Run with it.
And see the good in it.
Got to. Well, I see the good in all that you're doing. I'm very happy that we had a chance to chat today.
Thank you. And I am honored to be a part of the Cool Sorora podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I know
you're a childhood hero, right?
For the Atlanta folk.
Yeah.
Being kind of sorta.
I'm going to need you to claim that.
I mean,
I think I might need to make you a shirt to say that.
Oh, hey. Okay. I mean, I'll take it. I sure would run with that thing, though.
Yeah, I
don't take that lightly at all. And when folks like you, I interviewed India Sean, she's an artist here at the Gathering Spot, and she was like, oh my God, I'm so honored. I'm like, well, I mean, it's all about you. But I realize that a lot of you all listen to me.
Yeah.
I was part of your soundtrack.
You were part of our soundtrack.
Yeah.
You were part of us, you know, saying, okay, she can do it, we can too.
Absolutely.
So
oh, man, don't make me cry.
We appreciate and honor you for that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, God, for using me as a vessel. I truly appreciate that. But I appreciate you for joining me and continued success on everything and changing the narrative, talking about the greatness of our city. And being exactly who you are.
With pleasure. Thank you so much.
Kirsten Daniel, everybody.
My name is Kirsten Daniel, and I am a brand manager and a lifestyle manager and an entrepreneur. And I am a cool soror of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. Ooh.